What a blessing to have this quality of music here during this week while we're able to minister with you. And of course, having family members as part of that is always a special blessing. As we talked last night, trying to take from generation to generation. And some of you met my great-grandson last night. So who knows, maybe another generation as well by the grace of God. Brother Cleaver, it's so great to see you. My first opportunity to see him since the passing of his wife, and God bless you. Pray for you. So thankful for your faithfulness, Brother Heffron. I'm amongst greatness tonight. I had dinner, supper, whatever you call it. I didn't do lunch, so I guess it was lunch and supper kind of put together with the post. And I've said for years, as I had the privilege of pastoring in Kansas City, there at Tri-City Baptist Church, and I get to know my brethren in Kansas, that it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And I said, these men and women who have served here, husbands and wives, now the Ernsbergers, the long-term faithful service, where we in Kansas City, being right on I-70, had visitors every Sunday almost just because of the visibility of our church. I know you've knocked on every door in town, and about the time you win them and they come, then they get called to go somewhere else, or somebody moves away, and to be faithful. That's what's required of a steward, that a man be found faithful. And these brethren have been so very, very faithful and have been such a wonderful testimony to me, and I feel honored that you're here tonight. I've had that fellowship through the years, and I continue to get that fellowship and look forward to the fellowship we'll have in heaven someday. Think of Mrs. Cleaver being in heaven and thinking, wow, to be able to just know what she knows right now and to be able to understand the way she understands. And someday, by the grace of God, we'll all be there. And I'm telling you what, now you know I'm involved in Washington, D.C., and everybody's coming against Israel. Do you see that? If you want to know Bible prophecy, just keep your eyes on Israel. It's happening before our very eyes. Now, I'm not date setting, okay? I know the eclipse was supposed to end it all yesterday, so that didn't happen. So we're still here, right? And I'm thankful. But it's our responsibility is to stay faithful and just occupy until He comes. And I'm grateful that you're back here again tonight. You've been very faithful as a congregation to be coming to these services, and we greatly appreciate you being here. And I hope that some of the things you're grabbing hold of are a help to you and will cause you to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, couples, have you ever experienced something like this that has happened in the Herbster household? My wife and I are talking, and we're having good eye contact, and all of a sudden she'll say something like this, you're not listening. Young people, have you ever had this happen with your parents? You're not listening. Or maybe at work, boss says, you're not listening. Communication can be a challenge. Right now, I don't know about you, but I'm foolish. Because I will say, yes, I am. Yes, I am. But my wife is very wise, and she'll answer back and say, then what did I just say? Anybody else experiencing what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm saying? And then what happens? Then I try to make something up. You know, I try to come up with something, and I just make a fool out of myself because I'm not really communicating the way I should be communicating. And if the authorities are right, they say the two things that really are destroying homes and families, and I'm not talking about just Christian homes, but all homes, communication and finances. Communication and finances. We're going to talk about communication tonight. We'll talk some about finances tomorrow night, along with, you know, Wednesday night, you just kind of throw everything at the wall, you know, because that's your last opportunity. But we will be talking a little bit about that area that's so important as well, to make sure that we don't have those conflicts in our homes because of communication or finances. Last night we said that it's very important for us with our families to talk about biblical what? Principles. truths, general truths, from which we then make specific applications. So tonight, I want to share with you five biblical principles of communication, all found in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I hope you all got a handout. If you didn't, you raise your hand, and I found last night that somebody was ready to go to give you one, so I see a couple people with their hands up, so just keep your hands up until they bring it to you. Jeffrey's on his way. He's got them all in his hand, and he's coming your way, so keep your hand up, and he'll give them to you, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Right over here, Jeffrey, there's one. Anybody else? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, let's be correct. When he's talking about conversation right there, he's talking about your lifestyle. He's talking about your manner of life, not your communication. Even though we said last night, say it with me, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Great, you got it. So we do communicate from our life as well, but this word conversation is talking about how we go about living our lives, that we put off the former lifestyle or conversation, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. On Sunday morning, we talked about being filled with the Spirit. This is that process of walking in the Spirit so we don't give in to the lust of the flesh. We put off, we put on, but in between, we put in. Remember, we have to rely on God's Word. CPR. What was C? By the way, I'm an educator, okay? My doctorate's in education, and repetition aids learning. I'm not going to quiz you tomorrow night, so please come back. We got that over at the very beginning of the week. But let me ask you something. What was C? When we said CPR, to be filled with the Spirit, C is what? P is what? And R is what? Rely on God's Word. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can't be renewed in the spirit of your mind without the Word of God. And so he's telling us this is the process we need to be going through, as we then saw in Ephesians 5 and verse 18, to be filled with the Spirit. And starting in verse 25 and going through the end of the chapter, he deals with some of these issues of things we should put off and we should put on, some things that should change, and that really deal with this matter of communication. Look what it says in verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. How many of you have listened to any of the Patch albums? Do you know what I'm talking about? Patch the Pirate, Ron Hamilton. Tell the truth. Don't you tell no lies. You just tell the truth till the day you die. Patch goes west, I think. Isn't that right? You know, listen, parents, you've been through it once. Grandparents, you're going through it again. Now I'm a great-grandfather. Guess what? I'm probably going to go through it again. Eventually, I'm going to learn them. But here's the first principle. In our communication, we should be correct. We should be correct. We should be truthful. We should be honest. We should make sure we tell the truth. So we must be correct in our communication. Now, I learned this early in life with my wife as newlyweds, because I was a math major, told you that last night, but I was also a PE minor. My goal in life was to be a basketball coach and a math teacher. But then I found out there was no money in it. Any other teachers around here that found that? And so I ended up going into the business world for several years before the Lord called me to preach. But in PE class, because it was a secular college, I had to learn how to dance. Aren't you glad you know that? Because if you need some help, I'm your answer. And some of you maybe know that in PE classes in the public schools, I think, you know, ballroom dancing, square dancing, and all this stuff. And back in those days, when you dance with somebody from the opposite sex. I know we're confused today. We talked about some of the confusion in gender identity earlier in the week. Don't you be confused. I'm not confused. And so I would dance with a girl. But now you have to know, both of us were baby Christians as new and newlyweds. And my wife had a problem with jealousy. Now you can probably understand why. Just kidding. Okay, And I wanted to have harmony at home, so when I would come home from school and she'd say, "Did you dance with a pretty girl today?" No, there wasn't a pretty girl in that school. I mean, you know. So what did I do? Thank you. That's exactly what I did, because I felt that was a lot better than going through the hassle of, what did you like her? Was she cute? Well, you know, no, she was not pretty. You know, I could hardly get my arms around her. I mean, it was terrible what I had to deal with here in class. But you have to understand, we had rented a little duplex that was about a block and a half from the campus. And we would have our class in the gymnasium, and our gymnasium was kind of a bowl, and it had a track around the top and all the bleachers down, and then we were down here on the gym floor dancing. And so my wife decided one time to come and check it out. And so she came unbeknownst to me and watched who I was dancing with. And so guess what? When I came home and told her, you know, wow, what a tribulation I had to go through today, you know, with who I was dancing with. I mean, just ugly, you know, and oh man, it was terrible. You're a liar, Carl. You're a liar. And all of a sudden, my cover was blown. And you know what else? My trust was lost. Right? Because if you don't have trust in your marriage, if you don't have trust with your children, if you don't have trust with people at work, if they can't count on your word to be your word, you've lost everything. And I had to build back that trust with my wife so that she would know that if she asked me a question and I communicated with her, I was going to tell her the truth. I was going to be correct and made sure that my conversation was always correct with my wife. By the way, ladies, it can go the other way around. When we men ask you, what's wrong? What's bothering you? So the ladies are already giggling. You know what you're going to say, right? Nothing. I heard it right there. She said, nothing bothered me. And what you're really saying, you want us to know somehow. Now, I know, ladies, you have sonar. I understand that. You can sense things, but we men are dense. Not too many amens on that one, but we are. We don't get it. You have to communicate with us. And by the way, sir, when she communicates, you don't go, oh, well, that's crazy. What? What do you mean? Like, and then all of a sudden she clams up again and you'll never get her to open up again. Be ready for whatever she's going to say, but ladies, be willing to communicate. Husbands are to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, and we've got a lot of learning to do. And the only way we can learn is for our wives to help us understand, what are your needs? How can I love you better? How can I show you what I would desire to be as a husband for you if you don't communicate with me? You say it takes truthful communication. I try to encourage newlyweds as they grow in their marriage maybe to have an annual checkup. And not necessarily on your anniversary day, but sometime, you know, where you just say to your wife, "Hun, how can I be a better husband to you? How can I be a better father to our children? What do you think I should improve on?" Remember, 100 ways to love your wife? Just give me a few to work on. And of course, when I do this with my wife, she'll say, "I know what you're really trying to do, because you know once I'm finished, you're wanting me to say, how can I be a better wife? So you're just setting me up, Carl. I know what you're doing." No, I think it's good for us both to have that communication. I've told her, you're welcome to ask me first. I don't have to be the leader in this. But we need to communicate how we can be better helper to one another. Remember, the ministry of marriage is to serve one another. And to do that, it takes communication. It takes correct communication. But let's look back at Ephesians chapter 4 and let's see the second principle. Number one, the communication should be what? Correct. Number two, the communication should be current. Current. Look what it says. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We do get angry at sin sometimes, but we shouldn't get out of control, because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Righteous indignation. I get angry about some of the things that are happening in our society today. I get angry about some of the things that I see people tolerating in their homes today. I get frustrated, but I shouldn't get out of control. I should make sure that I deal with myself in a calm and caring way. But then he goes on and he says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. How many of you have ever been angry at somebody in your family? May I see your hands? If you're not putting your hand up, you're lying. And because we all have, right? But we're supposed to deal with it. One of the things my wife and I have purposed to do every night before we go to bed. We're not perfect in this, but this has been our goal, and we've been doing it for many, many years since going to a couples retreat and having it suggested to us. We pray together before we go to bed. Now, that's wonderful from the standpoint, because God answers prayer. It brings us communicating to God with each other and communicating to God about the needs of family. But there's something else. It is hard to pray with somebody when you're mad at them. Do you ever notice that? Unless it's, Lord, please cause her to get right with you and get right with me and get this taken care of, you know. So, and it helps us to try to make sure we don't let the sun go down upon our wrath. Now, nobody here has probably had this experience of back-to-back Cold War combat in the bed. Oh, I see some smiles. Good, it's not just me. Okay. And remember, when you're having that, you know, and you're saying, why didn't she get right? And why didn't he get right? Why is going to get Remember, who is the head of the house? Who's responsible to make sure and get the thing taken care of? Angie, fathers, husbands, the loving leaders. Now, I'm glad that my wife sometimes jumps in there and doesn't wait for me to get right with God. But we have learned that we might as well get this over with, because it's going to be a long night if we don't keep this conversation current. And I know sometimes, and there's some other war-scarred veterans here, so I think you can talk to one another. But I know sometimes we're not getting it settled because we're just tired. And everything will look better in the morning, and so that we have to just kind of say, okay, let's just not deal with it anymore tonight. Let's pray about it, and let's put it before the Lord, and let's talk about it the next morning. And then you wake up refreshed, and now you're arguing about who wants to get right, because you say, oh, I was wrong. No, I was wrong. It's amazing how a good night's sleep sometimes can make a difference. So I know there are exceptions to the rule, but when there's something bugging you, deal with it. I want to show you two scriptures. One of them I'm sure you're familiar with. The other one, sometimes we don't understand quite as well. Go back to Matthew chapter 18. As soon as I say Matthew chapter 18, you know what I'm talking about, right? Matthew chapter 18. In verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. This isn't for you to call the prayer chain and say, Gladys, tell Gertrude, who tell Gloria, who, you know, going on, because my husband is being bullheaded again. And maybe so, but if you think he's being bullheaded, who should you be talking to about that? You know, we have a responsibility to talk to the person. If my brother shall trespass against you, you know, if I'm not happy and something that my wife has said or something my wife has done, I need to kindly and compassionately confront her about it. I need to go and talk to her about it alone. We need to get it taken care of. If you have aught with somebody in your family, you ought to deal with it. You ought to deal with it immediately. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5. This is the one that sometimes people don't notice and don't practice. Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee. Now, let me ask you, is your husband, your wife, your brother or sister in Christ, or your kids, your brothers and sisters in Christ? We have to deal with our family just like we deal with anybody else. He says, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Get it taken care of. It goes both ways. You have a problem with somebody else, or you know they have a problem with you because they've clammed up. You know, some people blow up, some people clam up. Either way, they have a problem. And we have to deal with those things. And we have to deal with them in a very, very immediate way and not let it fester and grow and get worse and worse, because a root of bitterness can spring up and many are defiled thereby. Make it current. It could be even that it's like tonight, God's Holy Spirit's going to bring something to your mind that you're irritated about with a member of the family that needs to be taken. Can I say the church is our family too? And I really believe we need to have that same spirit amongst our church family as well as our physical family. But yeah, we're having a family conference, so we're talking about keeping that communication current. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Let's follow on. Verse 29, what's the next word? Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 4, back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no. How many of you know what no means? Zero. Goose egg. None. Nada. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Number one was what? Be what? Number two is what? Number three is to be controlled. Be controlled. Now, I won't make you turn to it, but you can reference James chapter 3. The tongue is a little member, right? But oh, what a fire it can kindle. And no man can tame the tongue. Now, don't be discouraged with that. God can do anything. I can't on my own, because it's a world of iniquity. Just read the passage. You'll see all the problems of the tongue. But my goal is to let God help me control my tongue so I never say something like, you're dumb, you're stupid, I wish I'd never married you, you're just like your dad. Now, when my wife says that to me, she's not talking about his more desirable traits. And my wife knows not to say that to me, because I didn't have a good relationship with my dad, and there's some things about my dad, I don't want to be anything like my dad in those things. And so that's an ant. You know what an ant is? Get under your skin type thing. But my problem is, I'll say, there you go again. Because after all, if I forgave her, right? Are y'all with me? If I forgave her, like I'm supposed to forgive her, it was forgotten, wasn't it? But now all of a sudden I'm bringing it up again. You see, how much a fire the tongue can kindle. It can create a big fire because of the fact that we just don't control the tongue. We were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, talking about this being filled with the Spirit on Sunday. And you know what the fruit of the Spirit is according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23? Love, joy, peace, longsuffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against it, there's no law. Well, I had somebody give me an illustration one time that I really was a help to me. It said, if you have a cup full of water, okay, and it's full to the top with water. And somebody comes along and starts pushing you around and starts giving you a rough time and jiggling you. Maybe it's your child, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's somebody at work. And all of a sudden they're pushing you around. Now y'all with me. What comes out of the cup? Thank you. Right? Water. H2O. Okay, if you're filled with the Spirit and somebody gives you a rough time, somebody pushes you around, gives you difficult area, what should come out of the cup if you're full of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As a matter of fact, I have a cup at home that has that verse on the outside of it because somebody gave it to me to remind me that I'm under control. No, it wasn't my wife. Everybody's looking at my wife. She didn't give it to me. I preached about that, and somebody said, here's something that'll be a reminder to you in a cup, and I love it. I love it because it's a good reminder that we need to be under control, and the only way we can be under control is letting God control the tongue, being filled with the Spirit. But he goes on in verse 29. He not only says that we should be controlled, no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's pretty convicting, isn't it? But he says instead, that which is edifying, good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Be constructive in your communication. Your communication should be constructive. It should build people up. It should not tear people down. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Go back to the book of Proverbs. And I want you to see a few verses in the book of Proverbs. Because the tongue can be used in a very positive way also. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, look what it says in verse 15. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Excuse me, I said Proverbs 12 verse 25. Didn't see the little two there. Heaviness is in the heart of man maketh it stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. An encouraging word, a constructive word makes it glad. Go over to Proverbs chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A positive word. A praise on the lips. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Constructive communication is very helpful. And Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 11, this one's beautiful. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. When I was in the business world, I was taught something called the sandwich approach. The sandwich approach. Any of you ever heard about the sandwich approach when it comes to correcting? The sandwich approach is when you talk to somebody, compliment them first about something they're doing well, and then give them the correction or the instruction in between about something maybe they could do better, and then close it up with another compliment. And let them know, now, I appreciate the way you're trying to help me, Carl. I appreciate what you're trying to do there, but sometimes you're reacting a little too quickly, and you're not listening, and let me finish my statement. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, to him it is folly and shame. That's Carl Herbster. So, but I appreciate the fact that you will listen to me, but you just need to let me finish before you see the sandwich approach. Now, my wife says, just forget, you know, sandwich. Just give me the bologna right up front and be done with it. You know, that's what she says to me. But I appreciate her using the sandwich approach with me. And being constructive as she's trying to help me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of positive things to say. We talked about children last night and talked about young people. You know, isn't it amazing how if you're working with children, you put a little smiley face on their hand after Sunday school, and they won't wash their hand for a week because it's just, by the way, it doesn't work with teenagers, just so you know. But let me tell you what works with all young people, a smile on your face and a good word spoken. That's why I appreciated what Brother Post said the other night about, let's give a good hearty amen. When you ever have children or young people singing or ministering or whatever, just give them a good hearty amen. Amen. Thank them after the service for what they've done. Encourage them to keep doing it. Constructive words. No, don't have cutting words. Make sure you're under control. But instead have constructive words that will build people up. And then it says in verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be under control. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Our communication should be correct. It should be current. It should be controlled. It should be constructive, and it always should be compassionate. Always should be compassionate. Speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in, by the way, this is good for all of us, no matter who we're dealing with. It's amazing to me sometimes, you know, when we're trying to tell people the gospel and, you know, and trying to encourage them to be saved. You're going to burn in hell, you understand? If you don't get right with God, you're going to go to hell, and you're going to deserve to go to hell, you reprobate, you agent of the devil. You know, you better get right with God because he's going to burn you. And then we wonder why people don't want to listen to the gospel. You can speak the truth in love. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son? Aren't you glad that a loving Savior came and died for you and for me and for the sins of the whole world? God is a God of love, and we need to be people of love, and our communication should always be with love. 1 Corinthians 13, put your name in there sometime and see if you're kind. See if you're long-suffering. Evaluate yourself to make sure that you're a man, you're a woman, you're a young person of love. I talked a little bit about raising the next generation last night. If you see in verse 15, that's where I said, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him at all things which is the head, even Christ. Remember Christ's likeness? I have a little equation that I've taught people through the years that I think helps us in our homes, helps us in our jobs, helps us in the church. Because you see, it says, speaking the truth in love. So if you'll communicate convictions with compassion, I love C's, you know, here we go again. You know, if you'll communicate convictions, the truth, with compassion, you'll develop Christ-likeness. But if you communicate convictions minus compassion, you know what you'll create? Contentions. And I've watched it in homes. Might be speaking the truth, but there's no love. It's just hard. But hold on. Don't go the other way, and don't just keep the right balance, because if you have so much compassion that you won't speak the truth, compassion minus convictions equals compromise. And I've seen a lot of that too. A lot of people compromising on their convictions because they don't want to offend anybody. Well, I have a little saying, if my manner offends, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But if the message of the Word of God offends, so be it. Get my point? God's Word will offend. Telling people they're lost and they won't go to heaven without Jesus Christ. You know, can offend some people, but the way I communicate it should be caring and loving. And so that my manner doesn't offend, that I have that sweet, kind, and gracious spirit. Communication needs to be correct. Communication needs to be current. Communication needs to be controlled. Communication needs to be constructive. And communication needs to be compassionate. It's a big problem in our homes and our families. It's a big problem in our society. We need to put off the old man, put on the new man by being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Bow your heads and close your eyes, and nobody looking around, but everybody letting the Holy Spirit deal with your heart and with your life. In just a moment, the piano will play, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way." It's number 366, Micah. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Will you be clay tonight in the hands of the master potter? Will you be willing to admit some areas in this important subject of communication where things need to change? Remember, the tongue can no man tame, but God can tame it. Would you give it over to the Lord tonight? I don't know what area it might be, but let me ask you, with the heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please, nobody looking around. This is between you and God. How many of you would say tonight, God spoke to me about at least one or more situations with my tongue, even tonight in this simple message? Would you raise your hands if that's the case? Yep, yep. We're all made out of the same stuff. Now, hopefully, some of the things that you're working on, but there may be some things you have to go and get right with somebody because you've offended somebody or you know they're offended with you. Praise the Lord. Be willing to do it. And it may be just something you have to work on for yourself. I don't know. But I'm encouraging you to take care of it tonight. Ask the Lord to help you because He can tame your tongue. He can use your tongue for His glory. It's a little member that can be used for good or for evil. Might we all allow God to use it for evil? Let me ask one other question. Just some new people here tonight. I don't know you. You don't know me, but I want to make sure you know my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here that came in tonight that you'd say, listen, I came into the service tonight, but I've never experienced the love of Christ. I've never had Jesus Christ save me from my sin. I've never been born again. I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't have that confidence. Can I tell you that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life? Are you here tonight not knowing you have everlasting life? And you'd say, Brother Herbster, please pray for me before you close the service. I need to know Christ as my personal Savior. Is anyone like that here tonight? Just put your hand up and put it back down. You may all know the Lord, and that's wonderful. But I want to make sure before we close this service, let's all quietly stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, You have obviously been active in the service tonight. And I'm thankful for people who are willing to be transparent and open and honest about problems that they might recognize as we talk about the tongue, as we talk about communication. And I'm so thankful, Father, that if we confess our sin, You're faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So please, right now, as folks are dealing with things in their lives and maybe going to have to deal with some others, please, would they confess it? Oh, help us to remember if we cover our sin, we don't prosper. But if we confess and forsake it, there's mercy. And I pray that Your mercy will be great tonight in our lives, that we might use our communication to glorify You and to build up others. Please, Lord, have Your will and way in this invitation. Cause people to let You change them into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in His name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano is playing. Some of you may want to get on your knees before the Lord. Some of you may want to grab a child or a spouse or somebody. And you say, I need to get some things fixed. Come pray with me. We'll talk later, but come pray with me. Oh, how we need to get control of our tongues and how we need to use our tongues to give out the gospel and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God have his will and way in your heart and life, even here tonight before we close. Can you sing that first verse as a prayer with your head bowed and eyes closed together?
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
He's just going to play through one more verse. One practical thing I just encourage you to do. Men, you're the leaders. Maybe you've done it before, maybe you haven't done it before, but before you go to sleep tonight, communicate with the Lord, with your spouse. Pray together. If there's anything that needs to be gotten right, get it right. Commit your marriage, commit your home, commit yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Communicating with him and communicating with others according to his word.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had with your word tonight. We thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. May we not quench or grieve that working. And Father, as you deal with things in our lives, that we would confess them to you where we need to. And Father, if we need to find someone else to talk to seek their forgiveness, may we do that as well. Father, to have a right relationship with our fellow believers, with our fellow family members, Father, puts us in a perfect position to be in right fellowship with you. So, Father, I pray that you would be at work, and may we yield to that working. May we be that piece of pliable clay in thy hands, that you can mold us and shape us, change us into the image of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be the better for it. So, Father, I pray that you would continue to be at work. May we go forth, Father, truly enjoying the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives as we seek you out day by day. We pray that you would dismiss us in thy care, send us forth in thy grace and strength. And, Father, I pray that we would be mindful of others, inviting them out to our last series tomorrow night in this series, the last session, the last message. And Father, we pray that you would send us forth. Watch over us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.